Good morning. Please be seated. Be seated. Recently, I officiated at a wedding of a couple that I had known for years. It was wonderful, but not because the food was excellent and the venue was beautiful, a plantation on the river. Not because everything was planned down to the T, the menu, the cake, the band, the dress, the dresses, the flowers, even to the place settings they used. It had to have been a logistical nightmare. So much planning that they needed to hire a wedding planner. This was to be a great outdoor wedding. It would overlook, the wedding would service would overlook the river, the cocktail hour would be on the front lawn. Everything was planned down to the second. Everything except the weather. That was the one variable. In the morning of the wedding, it was overcast, cold, blustery, and rain was forecasted. The wedding planner's head was about to explode. She tried to maintain some semblance of calm, but her twitching fingers and her higher-pitched voice was a dead giveaway. I kept on hearing her mumble to herself, "I have a plan B. It's a good plan B. I have a plan B. It's a good plan B." But more about that wedding a little later. In today's Gospels reading, we heard John talk about the wedding at Cana. It's the first of seven, or six, depending on which commentary you read, the first of seven of the gifts. John calls these signs not miracles. He leads us to the realization that Jesus is the Word become flesh and lived among us, and that we have seen His glory. And this realization leads us to belief, which leads us to grace. Now, grace and belief are two big themes for John. Also, the number seven. Everything is sevens with John. But that's only interesting if you're a Bible nerd. All weddings are very important events in the lives of the families and the communities, and even the countries sometimes used to bring them together. It's usually a festive occasion. The wedding that we hear about today would have lasted a week or two. Marriages change everything. No longer is it Joe and Darlene. It's now Joe and Darlene. The two have become one. A new creation. I think that the whole, the new creation, is greater than the sum of the parts. Even death or divorce can't destroy that new thing, that couple. It's real, and sometimes it's tangible, no matter what happens. Today we heard at the beginning of our reading, it said, on the third day. What could that mean? And it is on that day when the wine runs out. This would have been terribly disgraceful for the bridegroom and his family, embarrassing for the steward. Can't the groom provide? This would have been dangerously troublesome for the servants, because ultimately they would have been blamed for the shortage. I think we have all shared the feeling of when the cup runs dry, when our good luck is gone, and things start to look desperate. What can we do? What can we do? Now remember, at this point of Jesus' life, he has just started his work. He has his family, who knows who he is and how he came to be. But his disciples thought he was a charismatic teacher, someone to follow. They did not know yet what to believe yet. Jesus gives us a gift today. Mary, the disciples, and the servants were the only ones that knew about it at the wedding. This was all done in the background. The people of the wedding had no idea. None of the guests knew what was going on, but I wonder why so few people? Why not start your ministry with some grand, earth-shaking miracle that everyone would see that he was the Christ and the Messiah? But that's not how God works. He wanted his disciples to come to the belief all by themselves. His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were 6 stone jars for the Jewish rite of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." One of my hobbies is making wine. My wine is called Via Media. That's right, the middle of the road. But think about it. Jesus tells the servant to fill those 6 jars used for purification. Let's do the math. 6 jars, let's say average of 25 gallons. That's 150 gallons total. That's 750 bottles. That's over 60 cases of wine. That's a lot. And we've learned today, evidently, that Jesus gives us gifts, and he gives them abundantly. And it wasn't some cheap wine. It was no 2-buck chuck. Oh, no, it was excellent. Even the steward called to the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine to the guests have become drunk. But you've kept the good wine until now." This sign does not have any warnings, no repent, no demons being forced out. It's different. It's a simple gesture, a gesture of love and concern. As one commentator, Matthew Skinner, states, "By providing wine from the wedding, Jesus tacitly endorses things that make life, human life, meaningful and pleasant. Sexuality, community, hospitality, meals, family, and celebrations. By enabling the festivities to continue, Jesus locates himself in places where life flourishes, and human relations thrive." So what's the good news? Because there's always good news. This reading is full of good news, full of references that you could just pick any one. But here's a couple. As an example, on the third day, that refers to the resurrection. That's good news. The empty jars were used for purification. They were useless. They were because they were empty. Until Jesus had them filled to overflowing. That's good news. But I think the overarching bit of good news is wine represents earthly joy. And sometimes joy runs out. And the good news is that Jesus provides endless joy for us. When the joy runs out of your life, our life, when our cup runs dry, when we don't know what to do, that could be the first day of a miracle, of something bigger or better for us. I've seen it in my life, when moments when death is turned into life, sorrow into joy, despair into hope. I have seen this happen in other people's lives. I have witnessed empty lives become full. Oh yes, about the wedding I spoke about earlier. The skies cleared, the winds became calm, and God provided the most beautiful sunset you have ever seen as a backdrop for Kat and Patrick's wedding. Mary said there was no wine, but they will have it, and it will be better than before. God saves the best for last. Amen.